Good Saturday morning to you, everybody, and welcome to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show, along with the Director of Family Services of the CCA, Chris Radlitz. I'm Gary Byron. Chris, oh my goodness, how are you there, brother?
Wait, do I even know who you are anymore?
I know. And we're still not even in the same room. I know you're out of state this morning, but this is going to sound bizarre because here it is the 22nd of January already, but Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you, too.
Did you have a nice New Year's? Did you do anything fun? Did you see the ball drop or have a nice dinner or anything, any of that?
Well, New Year's was nice. It was with family, so it was great. And that's always a pleasure. So, yeah, no, I personally did not stay up to watch the ball drop because it had been a long day. And, we just had other things going on. So, but everybody else did, I think. And that was good.
Good.
It was really nice. Enjoyed it. How about you?
We had a great dinner, a wonderful dinner. And then my wife fell asleep at around 10:30. And my son, AJ, and I were watching TV. Actually, we had it was too early to put the ball drop show on. So he was like watching some Avengers movie, and he got me into it. But I said, we got to switch the channel. To watch the ball drop there. I said, you want to wake up mama? Because I'm not going to wake her up. But, and he goes, yeah. He goes, I'll wake her up at 11:45. And so he did, and she came down, she watched the ball drop, got a kiss at midnight, and then by 12:05, she was back in bed. So it was short and sweet, but, it's a tradition. You got to watch the ball drop. That's New Year's Eve. But the dinner was nice. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask about your Christmas. I apologize. Listen, I was under the weather. I think you know about that. And we were supposed to do a show in studio, in person. And I know on Christmas, you had the Christmas music, but the week before that, we didn't see each other neither. So, how was your Christmas? I know it sounds kind of removed, but.
No, it was good. It was good. Look, as long as it's with family, it was great. Right. And, having little grandkids running around and seeing the wonder in their eyes and. Being there when they get up in the morning and run down and see things, it's great.
Right.
It was just wonderful.
I completely agree. Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Sharon and I, and Sharon, AJ and I should say, we were all together for most of the time. There were some times that we went and saw some different people and then came back home and met back up. But, we were both just getting over a little coronavirus stuff, and we both had, actually all three of us had it. My son had it for 4 days, and he was fine. My wife, who is a first grade school teacher, is although she got vaccinated back in March, so almost a year ago, didn't get any of the boosters. She had different symptoms than mine, and probably when I got it, and I'm not vaccinated, but. Mine lasted, we both had to quarantine for 10 days. I would say mine lasted about 9 of those 10 days. Hers probably a day or two less, maybe, 7 or 8 of those. She had different symptoms. Just very bizarre. But, in fact, the day that I came off quarantine was Christmas Eve. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I had the pleasure of sharing that experience just a short week or so later.
So, hence the reason why I think we're explaining why we haven't done anything new in the last few weeks. But I'm glad you're feeling better. The new year has begun, and we begin a new season of the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show. This is great.
Yeah.
All right.
So, I tell you, it's a good time to just go over some basics again, I guess.
Yeah, we can do that. Do you want to go over some basics, or do you want me to get right into the show here?
Well, I just think that part of the basics are the family service advisors and what it is that they do.
All right, so let's do that.
It might be a good idea to kick off with that.
All right, so last week we did an encore presentation. Last week, and we ended that discussion of the Catholic Cemeteries Association and CFP by telling our audience that the best way to start that process was to contact a family service advisor.
Right.
And before we begin our discussion this morning, let's just remind our audience of the Dignity of Life seminars that are resuming this year, 2022. I know this service has been, probably, an integral part of how the Catholic Cemeteries Association helps the families of in the Archdiocese.
Oh, yeah. So we take the break between the middle of December through usually the end of January. Mm-hmm. Just because of, holidays and everything else. So we're back starting on Tuesday, February 8th,
okay,
where we have a Dignity of Life seminar at Sacred Heart Cemetery in Meriden.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Tuesday on February 15th, same location, Sacred Heart Cemetery in Meriden. And, of course, you can get all the addresses and everything from the website. Both of those start 4:30 is the first one on the 8th, and 5 o'clock on Tuesday, the 15th.
Okay. All right, so we got that cleared up. And I'm so glad that we got, we discussed that in the early part of the show, because when you and I get going, and oh my goodness, we've got 1 minute till the end of the show, we would never be able to.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't remember any of that.
Hey, you're just as guilty of this as I am there, Bucko. Let's start off with some very elementary information. For example, what is an FSA? I know it stands for a family service advisor, but what is a family service advisor?
Well, family service advisor is a person that services the burial needs of the families of the archdiocese. Generally, these are people that serve families with care, compassion, and help educate and guide them through the process of making informed decisions, mm-hmm, for their advanced planning and their cemetery needs, as well as the sudden loss of a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
They help with the memorialization products and services that we offer. I think that big aspect of who they are is that they demonstrate by an example of what the Catholic Church is teaching is about the rite of Christian burial. And all their dealings with families and with staff. So, in essence, it's the person who helps guide people through some very difficult times in a caring, compassionate, and trustworthy manner.
Would you say that's their primary function of an FSA in the Catholic Cemeteries Association, is to guide them through a very, sad or somber or in serious matter?
Sure. I think that's true, but we also have to look at maybe adding a few caveats. The first contact with families who've suffered an immediate loss or who are interested in doing advanced planning for their cemetery needs. So they have certain traits and characteristics that I think it's important, because it's indicative not only of who they are, but it's also indicative of the organization and who we are.
Hmm.
Their primary role is to educate families. And to educate them on the rites of Christian burial. We've talked about the different stages of the rites of Christian burial in the past, the visitation or wake, the funeral, liturgy or the mass, and of course the communal, where we play a significant role in fulfilling this corporal act of mercy. So they are really the first contact. Their purpose is to educate not only on the rites of Christian burial, but also the rights of Catholic Christians within the archdiocese, so they know what they have available to them and they can make good decisions in terms of their burial needs.
I bet most people aren't even aware, right, of what their rights are, what the options are.
Well, I don't think people realize even that Catholic cemeteries sometimes, exist. So it's nice that the association exists. It's good that we try and get the word out so that people know that, there's a faithful alternative to doing what is, again, one of the major corporal works of mercy.
Just out of curiosity, what kind of backgrounds do your current FSAs have? In other words, is there a particular, an educational background or maybe work experience history that lends itself to being part of your team over at the Catholic Cemeteries Association?
That's an interesting question. There's no one path that leads to what makes a good FSA. I think that there are certain traits that are important. So first, you have to have a compassionate heart. Because if you don't have that means of being able to relate to other people. This is a very difficult position. I don't think you're doing a good service to the family also. You need to be empathetic because you have to be able to understand what families are feeling at this very delicate time in their lives. You also have to have a certain empathy to understand how to explain what is available based on what families' needs are and based on what families have told you. I think another trait that's extremely important is attention to detail. This is a position you can make mistakes. I mean, you know, we've joked around about this in the past. You know, someone has a funeral and they come back and say, you know, it didn't quite work out the way I wanted. Let's do this again next week. This is a one-shot deal.
Yeah.
So there's an attention to detail, and it's important that the people that are in these roles take the time that's necessary to ensure that what they're doing is 100% accurate. And we have other safeguards in place, obviously, to make sure that happens. I think it's really important that people have really excellent interpersonal skills and communication skills, not only in person, but also on the telephone. As you know, mm-hmm. It's different when you're dealing with someone on the phone versus dealing with someone face-to-face.
Oh, sure.
So you have to really understand the psychology of what's happening when there's a personal interaction, and you have to understand that when it's on the basis of a telephone. And these days, even email. Strange how when you write emails, there's a tenor that exists in an email. You have to know how to structure your words so that people don't misinterpret what it is you're saying.
People always, there's no tone. There's no tone of voice in an email. People take emails out of context all the time.
Yeah. So that's kind of the trait. But in terms now, when you talk about the background, it's fascinating. We have social workers. We have nurses. We have physical therapists. We have deacons of the church. We have retail store owners.
Oh.
So many different backgrounds. I mean, pure corporate people, too. Okay? So it's really many, many different backgrounds. I think the essential elements are that they, regardless of their professional background, they have the traits that we just discussed a little bit earlier.
Now, the
when you have that, when you have those traits, you stand a chance at doing, you know, fairly well with helping families.
The Catholic Cemeteries Association wouldn't happen to be looking for more family service advisors, are they? Or
is, well, look, you know, we're always looking for good people. Okay. And if there's someone out there that's a good person, you know, we'll always find a spot. But as you mentioned it, yes, in particular right now, where there is such a growing need for people to have someone that they can rely on and trust in dealing with important matters, yeah, we actually are very intently looking to add more people to the family service advisor staff. And I would encourage your listeners and our listeners that if they know someone that thinks they would be a good fit to and has the different traits that we just talked about, mm-hmm. please have them get in contact with me. I would very much love to speak with them. It's amazing how difficult it is to find good people for that. Actually, find any people.
But let's not beat around the bush. It's a very unique job that one must tread very delicately. I mean, you're interacting with people who are predominantly going through, you know, a sad time in their life.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's true. And what's sad really is that there seems to be more and more of these people that are going through these times. I don't know what it is. Maybe it was a time of year or something. But and when that happens, you know, we really need more people. I mean, we need more people that are able to step up and be part of this organization just so we can handle the load.
Do you think the clientele, are they just predominantly looking for guidance or they're looking for empathy? Is it a combination? Is it somebody to and really, I would imagine that even if they're being educated on the different options, and I say this with all due respect to them, their mind may not always be, you know, listening, and it's hard to process what is being told to you that's, you know, so essential to making these key decisions.
Well, you know, you're hitting on a number of points there I think are important to highlight. First off, it's the idea of the discussion in the first place.
Oh, true. You're right.
You know, it's not something that we want to focus on, especially from an advanced planning standpoint. And, you know, you and I, again, we've joked about this many times. It's not like you wake up in the morning, turn over in bed, look to your wife and say, hey, honey, let's take a ride to the cemetery today. You know, because we really are interested in, you know, looking at this stuff. That doesn't happen that often. Usually there's a triggering event of some sort that causes people to think about it. Obviously, the whole environment with COVID that we've been living in the last 2 years, that has caused a lot of people to want to really stop and think and say, well, you know, maybe I should take care of it. So I think that's an important part of it. I also think that, as you said, that people know that there's something that needs to be done, but they're not sure exactly what needs to be done. So having an individual present that not only can guide them through this process, but has the knowledge and the skills necessary to make it an easier transition for them, I think that's really important. Again, going back to the types of times that we're living in now, where for some reason it's difficult for every type of business to find people. We really have
a need. That's a good point. That's a really good point. There is such a demand for employees, and you usually, I remember earlier in my life where it was just the opposite. You know, it's hard to find, you know, good help. And you had all these applicants just for, you know, you had 100 applicants for, you know, two or three positions or one or two positions. And you have to kind of weed through them and whittle them down by, you know, process of elimination and interviews and so on and so forth. Now it's the opposite problem. There's a lot of positions that are available and fewer candidates that are applying for them.
Yeah, Gary, when I would publish an opening for a family service advisor, I would usually end up with 30 to 40 resumes that I could kind of go through and talk to people. If I get two, one, you know, that's it. Which is shocking.
Yeah.
Absolutely shocking to me.
Folks, you're listening.
Because not only is it a very satisfying position for an individual, but I mean, it's a fairly lucrative one. So, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I wasn't going to ask that, but it's a lucrative position.
Well, I mean, you know, you can earn a living to take care of your family. Yeah. I mean,
okay.
It's a good living.
Good. It's good. And you know what? You do need somebody. How do I put this? What would one's demeanor be? I mean, you can't go in there and be like, hey, good to see you. How's it, you know, but you don't want to be Debbie Downer neither, you know, where it's like, yes, how are you?
Yeah, I think that, you know what, I mean, we all have regular personalities. I mean, you and I and Ryan, you know, you just be yourself. So, I mean, I would not be hiring someone that would choose to speak in the manner you just described. So generally, you know, the people that we have on staff are pretty calm, pretty straight level. They're level headed and, you know, very easy to sit down and speak with. I think the biggest benefit is that they help families think about things that they didn't think in the past by asking good questions and help navigate through this environment that is so scary to so many people. Once it's over and it's finished, everybody's like, oh, that was easy. Yeah, he wasn't bad. And generally, our folks try to make it easy. So,
how often are they meeting with their first family service advisor?
Well, that depends on, you know, the situation for the family and what's the dynamic and what's going on within the family. I will say that many times family service advisors become adjuncts to the family. Over the holidays, you know, many were invited to the family's homes, you know, hey, come over for a little Christmas get together, come over for a little New Year's get together. They become pretty much entrenched in families' lives because of how important what they do is and how much the families appreciate the process that they've gone through and the care and service that they've had. Yeah, there's a lot of interaction.
Good. Folks, you're listening to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show along with Chris Radlitz, Director of Family Services. I'm Gary Byron. Take me through, what is the process like for someone who would first contact the Catholic Cemeteries Association and ask for a family service advisor and maybe a little, and if you could also include maybe how long you think the initial process actually takes.
Sure. So as we've talked about in shows in the past, you know, you're kind enough to give out the website and the phone numbers. When someone makes contact via the web, myself gets a message immediately that someone is interested. Mm-hmm. That information is taken and passed along to the family service advisor that handles the cemetery that the lead, I say the lead or the common was initiated from. And they will make a call and then set up an appointment. So that's the first process, first way it happens. Second is families will walk in the door and may not even have thought about actually doing planning, but have come in to visit someone and need to know where the location is. They'll have come in because they had a question about something relating to someone that they know or maybe for someone in their family. And they'll meet a family service advisor who will answer that question for them or help them. And the next thing you know, they're interested in just sitting down and talking. So that's another way. And then, of course, is people who make the call on the phone to call in and say, what is it that you guys do? How can I find out more? Or, you know, I have something that I really need to talk to someone about that deals with, you know, burials. Who do I speak to? Ultimately, the next step is always to set up an appointment. And, of course, we try and make it as convenient as possible, whether it's, you know, early morning, whether it's evening. We generally don't go to the homes, but in many cases, there are those people that are homebound, mm-hmm. in which case we will go to the home and actually meet with the family in their own home. But it makes a lot of sense generally to have the meeting at the cemetery because part of the process is generally going out to look and see the location. So when you get to see the location, obviously you have to be at the cemetery. At least to get the best possible view of it. We do have some web-based programs that people can actually view different areas of cemeteries, but there's nothing like, you know, standing right there and seeing it.
Oh, yeah.
And then once the individual comes into the office and has the meeting, it generally takes anywhere from 45 to 60 minutes, depending on needs. Sometimes a little faster, sometimes it's a little longer. You know, I remember that maybe 3-4 years ago, temperature was 98 degrees. It was 99% humidity. It was so hot and miserable. And a family had just lost the patriarch. And there were six of them. Mm-hmm. We spent 3 hours outside in the heat walking the different areas of the cemetery. And it's not, you know, I don't blame the poor families because when they have this happen and it's so devastating, that especially when it was so unexpected, you know, they just don't know what to do, so they keep going back and forth and back and forth. So yeah, generally, like I said, 45 to 60 minutes. It generally never goes as long as that one did, but again, you never know.
Do they generally ask the same questions? Do people want to know, in other words, you know, the same thing, if you're meeting with, I don't know, three different families in the course of a day, and I know there's going to be questions that pertain specifically to that particular family, but if somebody asks, I don't know, 5-6 questions, are there any that are universally ones that everybody asks that maybe you could share with us and kind of get those out there and perhaps even answer them?
I think every family has different concerns or needs, but I believe that, you know, the first thing they're concerned about, and it's not so much a question as it is a fear when they walk in the door, is a fear of the unknown. That's the thing that I think they almost all have.
But we all have that in everything. I mean, a new job,
true,
you know, a new significant,
you know,
other, you know.
Think about what it is that we're addressing here. You know, people don't know at all what it is to expect when they walk in the door. And I think that one of the things that we teach our family service advisors is you go over the agenda right at the beginning so people are comfortable and understand, oh, okay, I get it. this is what we're doing. This isn't going to be so bad. So really the biggest question is what were the need, what were the desires of the loved one? That's the question we'll ask. And they in turn will ask, well, you know, we don't know, but tell us what's available. So it's always the first, almost always the first question coming from families is, I just don't know what's available. Tell me what's available. So you have to go through and explain what the different types of products are that are available, the different types of space, and some of the benefits of each of them. I think one of the questions that's fairly common is they tend to ask what the background of the family service advisor is,
mm-hmm.
Which is surprising, but again, people want to know, and that makes perfect sense to me. So they'll talk about that. They're always interested in how you pay for this and, you know, what it costs and what the different options are and how they cost. So those are the common questions, but there's no one in particular that you can point to and say, yep, everybody asks that. Yep. It just doesn't happen because each family is so unique and each family is so different in what their needs are and what their personal experiences are. That there's almost no, I wish there was a series of questions that I could say, here's the questions you're going to get. And if you know these answers, you're all set. What my FSAs will tell you is that the 7 years they've been doing this, every day they learn something new.
Wow. Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all.
Not everybody has a job that where they can, you know, especially interacting with the public. You know,
right.
Every day you learn something new. Folks, if you need a family service advisor, if you're inquiring, if it intrigues you enough, or maybe you would like to inquire at least about a position like that. Apparently, there's some positions available with the Catholic Cemeteries Association. I urge you to reach them. Either way, whether you would like to find out more about a job as a family service advisor, or if you are requiring a family service advisor, let me give you some points of contact. Make sure you write this down. I would say start with the website. It's www.ccacemary.org. Again, ccacem.org. You can also email this show if you've got a question. We can try to get it answered for you right during the show. ccawdrc@gmail.com. And if you'd like to make that appointment, it's a toll-free number, 1-800-505-0080. Once again, toll free, 800-505-0080. For Chris Radlitz, Director of Family Services of the CCA, I am Gary Byron. Until next Saturday morning, have a good one, everybody. So long.